But see, some people like that, though.
Yeah, and those people are fucking idiots.
Alright,
I'm not sure how to open this one.
Okay. All right. I could try it.
Nah, no. Okay. No. No, okay. Joe, no.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to Best Boys. This one's a little bit different because we just finished up Twin Peaks.
Yeah, this is a very special Best Boys because it took us probably, I'd say about 30 hours to get the making of this one done.
Yep, because you had to watch the first two seasons, the first movie, the behind the scenes of the first movie, and yes, deleted scenes, which were an hour and a half long.
Oh, yeah. We did skip a little bit, because, we'll get into that later, but, Twin Peaks is a very interesting series. It's got some surreal dream imagery and stuff.
a lot.
In the TV show, it's very, very laid back, kind of. If you don't know what you're getting into, it's a little bit weird today. It's a little bit hard to watch, so if you think you would enjoy, like, watching a red midget dance, and, like, maybe, like, an upbeat, like, sheriff try to solve the mystery of who killed Laura Palmer, I would suggest watching all of season one, some of season two, and then the movie before you listen to this.
Yep, yeah, because this is, we'll try to avoid too many spoilers, but, I mean, we're going to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, let's go ahead and so a quick overview of what Twin Peaks is. A high school prom queen, Laura Palmer, shows up dead, wrapped in plastic in the river.
Yep.
And then FBI, the sheriff's office, is checking it out. FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper shows down, and he's there to assist the sheriff, and they try to figure out who killed Laura Palmer.
Yep. The mystery tale of the ages.
It is.
And originally it was never going to be solved, and then the network forced them to solve it, and that eventually killed the series.
I mean, it killed the series for 25 years, and then it came back with season 3.
Well, actually, it killed the series until David Lynch stepped back in for the very last episode. And then he officially killed the series, because there was no way they were going to make a third season after that.
Mm-hmm. Episodes are about an hour long. It was in the early 90s.
Yeah, 90 to 91, it ripped.
Yeah, it was, I didn't know anyone at the time, you know, none of my family was really into it, but I could definitely see how this would be early fandom type stuff, where there's,
yeah.
I could see a fucking fanzine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This was probably the biggest television show of its time ever. I mean, in terms of pure, like, unadulterated, like, wanting to know what happens next.
No, people constantly enthralled, it was on CBS?
ABC.
Yep. And Joe, you actually brought up something that I didn't think about, that I'm surprised that the show was so popular, because you can't just run an episode of Twin Peaks, because if you jump into the middle of an episode, oh, you just saw the Asian lady get turned into a doorknob, what?
Yeah, so Twin Peaks is very, very different from TV of the time, because it's serialized. It was one of the first serialized TV shows that wasn't a soap opera. And with soap operas, you can really tune in at any point, and you'll get the gist of what's happening pretty much immediately. But with Twin Peaks, you had to be watching from the very first episode in order to get what happens, because there's no recaps, and there's no way to rewatch the episodes. And back in the day, they didn't really rerun these episodes before the whole thing was finished.
They might have done some event days, like, December 24th, so let's do a Twin Peaks marathon. Start from the first episode. Get caught up with Twin Peaks on ABC.
Yeah, and so you had one chance to watch each episode, basically. And also, it doesn't help that ABC was constantly changing around when it would air. Like, the date and time. So, that also helped kill the series.
Yeah. It's directed by David Lynch for the most part.
Somewhat.
Like, 75% of the episodes in total?
No, he only directed, I think, 5 to 6 episodes. He directed the pilot, and he directed whatever it gets really weird that's normally him directing.
Okay, in various episodes?
Yeah.
But that entire episode, he only did a few?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Robert Frost? Was that the other
Mark
guy?
Mark Frost is the other guy who wrote
Robert
it.
Robert Frost, I think, is the poem guy.
Yeah, he is, I think. He likes to write about trees.
What about Frosty? What about Mark Frost? Who is this dude?
He is a frequent co-collaborator with David Lynch. He's kind of the guy who, he kind of had a couple ins with these different studios. So, like, later on, him and David Lynch were able to do another series that got killed called On the Air. And that was 7 episodes. They aired 3 of them. You could get it on VHS, and that VHS cost about $100. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, he was just like kind of the guy who helped write a lot of the Twin Peaks lore, and he did a lot of the character type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of characters, and every single character is connected to another character in 18 other different ways with various different relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And they lampoon this in the show by having soap operas on television.
Yeah, I think where it's like intro to love.
Yeah, intro.
Oh, like, invitation to love.
Yeah, they'll have aspects of characters that you just saw but get overblown and silly and.
Yeah. I mean, really, because at this time in TV, there were basically three different TV shows you could watch. You could watch a cop drama, you could watch a soap opera, and then you could watch, like, a family sitcom. That was it. That was all that was on TV. I mean, a year before, The Simpsons was also changing up the game, so I'd say The Simpsons and Twin Peaks are probably the biggest influence of modern TV.
Oh, that's right. And then X-Files came around when? When did The X-Files come out? I know The X-Files is also very, very popular.
It is. I'm not, like, a huge X-Files guy, but I'd like to say maybe, like, 94.
You're not an X-File.
No. Well, and also, you never want to get labeled as a file of any kind, because then, you get run out of town. Yeah.
So, speaking of towns, Twin Peaks, then I noticed this immediately, when, in the first episode, I think it's the first episode, you see the Twin Peaks sign, population 51,000.
Yes.
That's a very small town.
The studio executives said that, like, rural towns are on the out. We need big cities on TV shows. So,
well, when was Smallville a thing?
Oh, Smallville. I mean, that was 2000s. Sometime.
Oh, okay. And I was about to say, because Smallville is in the name. It's a small town.
But I think that's because it's like Superman is so big, he grows so large, and then his town gets eclipsed by him, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope they would do something like that, maybe. Like, he's the reverse Ant-Man.
But, yeah, I mean, I watched Gravity Falls a few months ago, and every time I looked at it, people were describing it as, like, Twin Peaks for kids.
Mm, yeah.
And I'm like, alright, what is this dumb shit? And Gravity Falls is pretty okay.
It looks fine from what I've seen of it.
From what I expected of Gravity Falls, I expected the level of craziness that was happening in Twin Peaks. In Twin Peaks, there was... Yeah. And part of that is like, yeah, Ted, it's a fucking cartoon. What'd you expect?
Well, you know, actually, there is a straight-up Twin Peaks, like, little skit in an old Scooby-Doo, like, animated thing. Like, there's a little, like, red dancing dwarf, and he's, like, talking to Scooby in reverse talk.
Really?
Yeah, they did Twin Beaks on Sesame Street, where it's like, that whole thing. They did a parody on Saturday Night Live. I mean, it was huge.
But, there was, there's very few things that are straightforward in the show. And I really like that. I would see motifs happen a lot. I would see little bits and pieces of information leak out, and then I would have to slowly interpret those as the episode was going on.
Oh, yeah, you gotta have a good memory to watch this show.
Oh, yeah, and especially because every single episode is about at least 45 minutes long.
Yeah, it is. They run an hour with commercials, so whenever you go to watch it on Netflix or whatever, it's, about 8 minutes or so. Commercials used to be much less longer than they are now. Now it's about half advertisement, half show.
The first episode, the first episode of the first season, last episode of the season? First and last episodes of the seasons are almost 2 hours long each.
Yeah, they are, except for the very last episode. That's a standard length one.
Yeah. Originally, when they pitched it, they had a different ending.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was never really supposed to be an ending. That they just had to shoot a ending in order to get the money for the pilot. So they just made up something real quick where it's like the one-armed man leads them to a physical killer, and then they wrap it up and kill him.
They wrap it up and they just shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of weird side characters that didn't really mean anything. And I'm wondering if those were kind of red herrings or not, like Nadine. Nadine was there just to kind of exist and wacky, and then also, like, take a bunch of pills and, like, go unconscious and be wacky, and then come out of it and have super strength, and then try out for the high school cheerleading team.
By the time David Lynch, like, basically left the series, I mean, there's a 40-year-old woman who has an eye patch, and she looks like she's about 55, because she's always screaming, so that ages you. And then she gets, like... She goes into amnesia, and she thinks she's, like, 18, and she's dating, like, the quarterback Ed Hurley, which is her old husband. And then she goes to be a cheerleader in high school, and there's just this old lady walking around the high school with, like, an eye patch. But she also has superhuman strength, so she can pick people up and throw them, and she can, like, break glasses and stuff with her bare hands. And then she falls in love with the current football man, Mike. And then they're just kind of kissing, and she no longer wants Ed, so Ed's free to go be with his lover.
And it basically had no point to be in there.
No, that didn't go anywhere. So David Lynch, in the very last episode, he kind of corrects that. He, like, turns her back into an old lady.
Yeah, there's a lot of subplots going on. I didn't care for the romance triangle that was going on with the teenagers. Yeah, like, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and I mean, because Twin Peaks is a kind of thriller cop show combined with a comedy, combined with surrealist horror, combined with soap opera love plots, which it's basically like five different shows in one.
And when you describe it like that, it sounds like a hot mess. Like, it just sounds like a mess where things are constantly happening, and it kind of is.
Yeah.
But there's actual reasons as to the things that happen. There's... every time that Dale Cooper got, like, a message, it was like, okay, without chemicals, he points, the owls are not as they seem, the man is in the smiling bag, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and throughout the entire, through that entire season, you're looking for all those things, and it was really fun. It was really fun watching. The second season got kind of weird.
With the second season, it's still mostly fine until they solve the murder, and then it just goes...
So I'm trying to remember, what exactly was the subplot after they... and I'll spoil it here. After they found out that Leland was the killer, he kills himself because Bob leaves, and then the rest of it, there's like... Because we skipped like six episodes.
Yeah, we did. We skipped probably 10 episodes. Agent Dale Cooper is kind of removed from the FBI for a while because he was involved in an unauthorized sting operation against some gambling people. His old friend Dennis comes back, but now she prefers to be called Denise because he dresses in women's clothing. And then there's a sting operation with her where, like, she goes to, Agent Dale Cooper is taken hostage, and then she goes to, like, give him, like, some pancakes or whatever in, like, a waitress outfit, and then she pulls a gun and shoots him. And then, there's, like, a thing where, James, like, the Myrtle Cycle guy, he leaves town. And then there's, like, three whole episodes where basically he lives with this, like, strange woman, and he fixes her car for her. And then, she wants him to kind of kill her husband, but not really, because they're both in on it together. And then James gets set up for something, and then he has to leave that place. And then, let's see. Yeah, so Nadine's, like, a teenager, and then... Dale doesn't really have much to do. He goes spelunking at one point.
Yeah, they go spelunking, and they find a cave map that has all of... The cave map's probably the most important thing that happens.
Yeah, that we missed.
What's his face?
Wyndham Earl comes back, but he's heavily alluded to beforehand and whenever we resumed, so, I mean, that was mostly fine.
Yeah, the cave map they found was ancient cave markings regarding... It was, like, a map, hints as to the Black Lodge.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we re-watched, like, a whole, like, 50-minute, like, recap before we went to record this just so we would be fresh, and they even skipped it because there was nothing of worth in those 10 episodes, really.
Yeah, they're really... It felt like a different show. It felt like someone took the reins and was like, I guess we do this? I don't really know what to do with this show. I don't know why it's popular. Let's just take a few aspects that people like and make it on that until Lynch... Why did Lynch leave? What did he have to do?
Because they ruined his show. They made him solve the mystery and he was just done. There was nothing else he could really do. He had nothing planned afterwards, so he just kind of left. Mark Frost is pretty much done, too. I mean, he didn't really care. And, yeah, it just got passed on to other people, and that's what they came up with, mostly.
Garbage. Garbage is what they came up with.
Although I do really like David Lynch's role as Gordon Cole, because he's, David Lynch actually mostly does that. He's always yelling.
Oh, he's the FBI director
guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, he carries a megaphone around on set just in case people can't hear him yelling, so he can just yell into the microphone, and that way people can hear him more.
He sounds like a dickhead.
No! But yeah, and then whenever he talks, he's always moving his fingers, too. So you just, like, see this strange man with weird hair on set yelling into a microphone and moving his fingers on every movie he does. And he plays, like, Cooper's boss, and he kind of comes into Twin Peaks to kind of see what's going on and whatever.
Yeah, because Twin Peaks is a Blue Rose case.
Oh, yeah. And that's not mentioned in the series. That happens in the movie later on.
Yep, so... So the series ends, the TV series ends, yes. And this is the end of season two, because season three has started. I think it's still ongoing.
Yeah. No, season... it's done. It's done. The 18 episodes wrapped about maybe a year ago.
Oh, are they planning on doing a fourth, or are they, okay,
no.
They're done. Okay,
no, they're good. Done. There's, good. It did so well for Showtime that they really, really want to basically let David Lynch do whatever he wants, and that might happen at some point, but he's got nothing planned for now.
That's cool.
But that was... The Twin Peaks revival was, like, basically the biggest thing that ever happened for Showtime. And they've done a lot of big stuff before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the TV series ends with... and I think this is how it goes.
Mm, yeah.
Where Dale Cooper follows Bob, who took Annie, into the Dark Lodge.
Yeah.
And he offers them his soul in exchange for Annie getting let go.
Yeah.
Because it's Linda Merle. Linda Merle's the one who takes Annie into the Black Lodge. And he gives them his soul. He tries to run out. He gets caught by, like, negative Dale Cooper.
Or something. Yeah. His doppelganger.
His doppelganger. Because the little midget dude mentions, like, next time you see me, it'll be a doppelganger.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's really cool how they do that sound effect, because the midget guy had, like, a carnival trick he learned where basically you can talk in reverse. You just write out the syllables, and then you can say it, and then David Lynch reverses that audio, and it sounds English, but warped. So he just got everybody to talk backwards and then reverse it, and that's why everybody's walking backwards, too.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that either.
Oh, yeah, no, wait, it's a pain to do, because you gotta get the staging all done, like everybody's just walking backwards, and they gotta make their movements look realistic backwards, but also odd.
I didn't even notice that in the Black Room, that any of the walk cycles,
Oh, yeah, they gotta be backwards.
Weird. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Something was weird about it. I knew that. But yeah. What about when they ran?
Because I think the screaming, like, especially Laura Parmel, I think that's backwards, too, because her screaming sounds odd.
It sounds like it, when you make a loud noise, it starts very quickly, loud, just,
and then it goes off. Opposite.
If you opposite, it goes, Yeah. And then it sharply ends.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's some really spooky scenes in Twin Peaks that I'm sure, like, television audiences were very confused.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the average television viewer is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, he's basically, like, a rock on, like, a couch. And sometimes, like, the rock could, like, get cheese on it or, like, move the clicker. But otherwise, that's about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's kind of like myself.
Oh, yeah.
But that's how it ends. He gives his soul over and... He wakes up in his hotel room, there's the doctor, and there's the sheriff there. He gets up, he goes like, oh, let me go brush my teeth. In the mirror, he sees Bob, smashes his head against the window, or not the window, the mirror.
Yeah.
Pretty much a window.
Well, yeah, it would have been a window, because to get that shot, there wasn't, you couldn't digitally remove that. So basically, you have the actor next to a clear, kind of glass-looking panel, and then the other actor is behind it, and you gotta mimic whatever each other are doing.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's how it ends, and the movie came out 2 years afterwards, right?
As scripted, the last episode of Twin Peaks was going to be garbage, because it was Mark Frost and a couple other guys wrote it. The Black Lodge was going to be, like, kind of a spooky old hotel. Cooper would go into it, he would be a small boy, and then he would see his father as the kind of old man, like, taking care of the building. And then Wyndham Earle would have, like, three whole long monologues, like, throughout the episode. None of the really weird stuff was in the final episode. So David Lynch came on set because he was set to direct it. He threw the script in the garbage, basically. And then he just redid it all, so we got the last episode. And that was probably the most surreal thing that ever has and ever will be on mainstream network television ever again. Because it's fantastic. It's like 20 minutes of unadulterated, like, horror. The last episode is really good.
So then that was the episode, and it just ends right there with Dale Cooper looking into the camera. He just smashed his head against the mirror, and he's got blood going down, asking, "Where's Annie?" and then laughing.
Yeah.
So if you were one of these people who had been watching for so long, that's how it ends. That's it. There's no more. That's the end of the series.
There's no way they were getting a season three after that. So yeah, David Lynch, he did get to do a movie, and instead of continuing the storyline from that, he did a prequel showing what exactly happened to Teresa Banks, one of the first murder cases that was tied to Laura Palmer, and then the life of Laura Palmer before she gets killed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of people did not like the movie.
Oh, no, it has a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, I believe, or Metacritic or something.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really see why. I can't understand from their perspective of, you've been watching Twin Peaks since episode one. You went through that shit pile that was like 10 episodes in season two that you did not give a fuck about because they were not nearly as good as the first season.
Yeah.
And so you get to the end and you're like, all right, sweet. Oh, fuck yeah, they're making a movie. Okay, sweet, sweet. I'll wait 2 years, 1994. All right, here we go, let's watch it. This didn't answer a single question.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't answer a single fucking question. It provided some stuff, but this didn't answer a single goddamn question. It's like, it's kind of like when Homestuck ended and there was a lot of questions, except David Lynch is someone who isn't a fucking hack.
Yeah. He just didn't get, like, Toby Fox to do his music for him.
Yeah, the, Twin Peaks movie soundtrack done by Toby Fox.
That could be interesting, though.
I mean, that's what we got with, what was it? With the white kids.
Funny Games?
Funny Games, yeah. Directed by Toby Fox. Check it out.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, basically, by the time the movie came out, I mean, people were already sick of Twin Peaks. I mean, because the mainstream audience has turned against Twin Peaks even before the second season was underway. I mean, they were done with it. They thought that, like, David Lynch was just leading them along, with, like, the whole mystery thing. They thought it was just weird for the sake of being weird. And, I mean, nobody was watching it by the time the show ended, really.
Interesting. I mean, that coupled with the fact that you, if you miss an episode, you're done.
Absolutely.
You can't watch it on fucking, you can't watch it on the internet, you can't get the VHS tapes very easily.
Yeah, no. I mean, even until very recently, like, any serialized TV show would have a recap at the beginning of each episode, like, explaining what happened in the last one in case you missed it, but Twin Peaks had none of that.
Because they couldn't fit it in there. The episodes only had 45 minutes.
No, well, and also David Lynch realized that television could be more of what it was then, so he tried to use it as a film medium. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that just wouldn't fit into his vision. Like, you can't put recaps in the middle of your movie.
Unless you're, like, a Grindhouse movie or something.
Yeah. Or the guy who's trying to do, like, a 700-hour-long movie.
Yeah, one of those pretentious fucks, as I call them.
Well, he's got a teaser out right now that's 7.5 hours. Yeah.
You know, I really hate when teasers give away half the movie.
Oh, yeah, no, this is, like, just, like, it's like some men on a beach, and they're, like, moving and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if you're fucking with me anymore or not.
No, that is a real thing. I forget the name of the movie, but, yeah, I just look up, like, 7.5-hour trailer.
But, yeah, the, I guess I can see why someone would be really mad about that movie, but when he made this movie, did he just be like, why did he make the movie?
Well, so, like, basically, they kind of teased him with a 3-picture deal if Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me did well, but it bombed, so he didn't get to make his other 2 movies anyway. But I think he still probably would have made it a prequel, even if he knew he was only getting 1 movie, because you have to humanize Laura Palmer in order to give her character weight, because otherwise she's just a picture in the series. I mean, this movie made her a character.
Yeah, because I remember in the series, I was thinking, like, wow, this lady seems like a total fucking bitch. I don't know, why do people care about Laura Palmer again?
Yeah.
And then you see, through the movie, you get to learn more about... You do get to see some things, and it does give you some puzzle pieces for the overall story. But then you see, like, okay, this is why Laura Palmer was the way she was. This is why she was a drug addict. This is why she was always drinking. This is why she was always smoking. And it is darker than the TV series.
Oh, yeah, no, it's extremely dark.
And I think that's really just because if you're covering what happened to Laura Palmer, you can't make that lighthearted.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can do about that to make it lightheaded and goofy, like...
Oh, yeah, no, because, I mean, Laura Palmer is a girl who got raped and murdered by her own father.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV show does go into that, but it's very, very heavily, like, suggested that it was completely Bob who was doing that. The movie, it kind of, you don't know exactly how much control Leland had over himself, so he probably was in some part molesting his own daughter, and then he may have been the one to kill her. You don't really know.
I don't know. It feels to me that Leland would go through, like, shifts of the moon, almost, where Leland would be in control. He wouldn't have any memory of what happened. Bob would be in control in some nights, because you would see that, and this, the movie did explain one thing that I never understood about her mom. The mom would sometimes just be, like, loose, I guess, for you. She would be limp. She would just sit there and not do anything. And, some of that you understand is, like, Leland, or Bob, was like, he would slip her something, or do something like that, or intimidate her.
Oh, yeah.
To not act. When he went into Laura's room.
Yeah.
When Bob went in there. Because Laura was talking to, was it Donna, I think? Or was it?
What line?
When she told Donna that, like, he's been having me since I was 12.
Oh, was that's, it James? That's the shutting character from the TV show that she gave her real secret diary to.
That's right. Because she found out that Bob had found her where her diary was, where she was writing down. Because there's the diary that I believe the therapist told her to start writing.
Yeah.
She started writing it, put in everything that was happening with Bob. Bob found it, tore the pages out, chased her around. She gave the diary to the shut-in guy that she met through Meals on Wheels. And, anyway, but back to the original point, like, I think that the situation with Bob and Leland was, Bob would take over, do some crazy shit, we don't come back, wouldn't even know what's going on. But the reason that I'm confused is, if that's been happening, why didn't she leave? Like, I feel like if it was this violent with the father doing stuff like that, but I mean, I guess I don't come from like an abusive household, so.
Well, and also she didn't know it was her father until very recent, into the middle of the movie, because she thought it was just Bob, and Bob could have probably got her anywhere.
Okay, yeah, because she saw Bob. That's what she saw. Yeah, and I still, there's a lot of these things that are only, like, you can kind of guess at. You can never make a 100% sure, like, okay, is Bob literally physical? How is she seeing Bob? Stuff like that. But that's all metaphors and crazy shit like that. But
oh, yeah, yeah. No, David Lynch doesn't really care about, like, if the images in his films are real or not in place of the characters.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, Twin Peaks was super, super big at the time. Even my mom has watched Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now everybody who's, like, over 40 at least knows of it.
Mm-hmm. But after Fire Walk With Me, that was the end of it.
Yeah, that was pretty the end much. Of Twin Peaks. There was, whenever the series was big, there was a book called The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer that was written by David Lynch's daughter. Jennifer Lynch, and she actually got to do a movie called Boxing Helena, and then that bombed, and then she didn't get to do another movie for, like, 20 years. Because it's about this chick who's kidnapped by, like, a doctor, and he amputates, like, all of her limbs so she can't move.
Sounds hot.
Oh, yeah. That's like a fetish now.
So why did Twin Peaks come back?
I mean, Showtime was very interested in grabbing David Lynch or whatever. And, like, basically, it just perfectly timed out where it was going to be exactly 25 years from the date of the last episode that they were going to do something anyway. And David Lynch had a lot of ideas if he ever wanted to revisit the series in the future.
Yeah, because there's a line, and it was pretty much just a throwaway line at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Well, because the line in the series, basically, what was happening was the Black Lodge exists somewhere out of time, and once you go in, you're kind of fucked time-wise. You can be everywhere and anywhere. So, I think she was just saying, because in the very beginning of the series, you see old Dale Cooper. He's got, like, all that old makeup on. It doesn't look great whenever you do HD, but yeah, that was just what they had at the time. He existed in an old state in the Lodge anyway, so she was going to see him again in 25 years in that.
Alright, yeah. So what the fuck is the Black Lodge? Do you have any answers as to what the fuck this series is about, Joe?
It's very hard to kind of tell. I mean, the Black Lodge is a plane of existence that somehow, the movie makes this much more clear, but it's got something to do with electricity, and some kind of electromagnetic thing, probably. It just kind of, like, probably exists, like, in layers of electricity. And, like, these kind of beings are able to kind of mess with our reality to kind of get what they want, which is pain and suffering.
Gorgonzola.
Or whatever. Yeah, cream corn.
Yeah, cream corn.
Yeah, yeah. There's, like, a shot I really like in the movie where it's just, like, a monkey's face and they somehow got it to talk and say Judy. Well, they got its lips to move like that.
Yeah, and it was just, like, a fisheye lens zoom in, night vision of a monkey looking very, very distressed.
Oh, yeah, they were probably slapping that monkey around. Mm-hmm. He was probably just saying, like, oh, 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 And then they just tased him.
Yep.
And they got the shot.
They were spanking that monkey.
Oh, and let me tell you, that naughty little monkey needs to be shaved and spanked. Yeah.
So what else about, what else? Go ahead and continue.
Oh, sure. There's also a plane of existence called the White Lodge, but we don't really see much of that in the series. It's very briefly hinted at, but I think it's ever expanded upon. And, I mean, once you're in the Black Lodge, I mean, there's nothing you can really do. You're kind of stuck there, probably, until you find a way out. Because in the series, the Black Lodge, it's really only shown in, like, maybe 3 episodes in the whole thing.
Well, the Red Room is shown a lot.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's probably only in, like, 3 or 4 episodes. It's in dream sequences and then the very end, basically. And then, I think, because they were, TV audiences at the time were very excited about, like, the little red, like, dancing midget and stuff. But then once it got really weird, I mean, they were out of it.
Once you got rid of the freak.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that poor little midget guy, he's actually got schizophrenia now. He, like, went on Facebook and accused David Lynch of, like, molesting his own daughter and, like, murdering his best friend, Jack Nance.
And now he's probably dead?
No, he's still alive, I think.
Oh. No, I mean, not Lynch. I mean the little dude.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So is he still accusing people of doing terrible things?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think once you go down that road, there's
did he come
really
back to the series,
help.
Maybe?
No, he was not invited back. No, which is unfortunate, because it's a really cool character, but yeah.
So for the White Lodge, was that what the sergeant went to?
Yeah, people think, because the sergeant character gets kind of abducted by something. Like, right after the season 2 is kind of about to go downhill. And, you see him in this kind of, like, foresty area for a bit, and then he comes back, and he doesn't really remember what happened, and he's got, like, a radiation burn by his ear. So that could have probably been the White Lodge. We're not exactly sure. It was never really said in the series, but yeah.
Okay, so do you have any answers as to what the fuck Bob is?
I mean, people think that Bob is, there's like a couple different interpretations of it. They think that he could be a physical entity who controls people and possesses them, but he could just be like the state of evil that can take over people and whatever. I mean, people aren't really sure, but that actor is dead. He died in like the mid-90s, so he won't be in the new series.
Oh, that's lame.
Yep.
Because he was a cool actor.
Oh, yeah,
I liked
good.
How Bob looked. He was very scary.
Oh, he's a spooky guy. He was a set dresser on the pilot, and, like, David Lynch just, like, saw a glimpse of him in the mirror, and he was like, that's it, you gotta be in it.
You're a terrifying human being.
Oh, yeah.
You're scary to look at.
You're all greasy, and you got gray hair. You're in my new series.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other questions. So when the lady gets stuck into the doorknob,
I don't think David Lynch had anything to do with that. I think that was probably just somebody trying to be weird, and then they just kind of had to get rid of Josie because she had nothing else left to do. So.
And so they put her into a doorknob and said,
probably.
All right, that's it.
I'd
whatever.
Imagine, yeah.
With a weird, shitty CGI effect.
Oh, yeah. It, like, morphs, and then it does, like, a thing where, like, the face, like, extends out of the wood, but it's kind of all blobby.
It's like that episode of SpongeBob where he goes through the metal wall when Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy go to the Krusty Krab. So what about the giant?
Ooh, with the giant, we're not really sure if he's good or evil, because he's definitely in the Black Lodge, but he seems to want to help out Cooper whenever he's involved, so.
Because you see in the map, there's the giant man and the little man.
Yes.
The little man, you see, the little man never leaves the lodge. He's always in the lodge.
No, yeah.
The giant man manifests to Cooper.
Yeah.
Takes his ring. You see, there's an old man, a very skinny, tall old man that you see that's just a normal person that might
be
the manifestation of the giant as well or something.
Yeah, we're not sure. The fans call him Senior Drool Cup because Albert at one point calls him that, so that's his name.
Yeah, Albert was a fun character. I liked him too.
Oh, yeah, because he definitely changes. He's like a dick at first because he doesn't really give a fuck. He's like surrounded by like a bunch of ticks. And, like, birds and stuff, and he doesn't want him. He wants to go back and, like, sip some coffee or whatever, and he wants to go solve his crimes. But then whenever the next character in the series gets killed, he realizes that they have to stop him. So he's just going to work along with them.
Yeah. And so the town of Twin Peaks, where was it? Is it Is it an actual town called Twin Peaks?
No, it's not a real town, but the filming location of Twin Peaks is kind of a real town. Like, I mean, that diner is, like, kind of famous now. People will just walk in and demand pie. They have to make, like, 20 of them a day. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, whenever they were filming, actually, like, they couldn't keep pies on set either, because, I mean, they tried, like, making them, and people were just eating them, like, with their bare hands, probably. And, yeah, they had to keep doubling the pie orders for, like, days.
Yeah, I'm sure that town's entire economy was based on Twin Peaks for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, it basically is. Yeah, no, people love to go see the hotel and, like, the, all the different, like, little locations.
Kind of like a Norman Bates hotel, but with red diamonds.
Oh, yeah. No, that building doesn't exist anymore, though. They tore that right down.
Yep.
Yeah, the what you can go to at the Universal lot is just, like, a rebuild of it.
But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, the real building doesn't exist anymore. So the beginning of it, like, it was going to be called, like, the Northern Exposure, I believe. Like, the very first pilot thing that they were making. And then, with the pilot... everything was, like, set in place, like, the pilot's, like, an hour and a half thing, but, like, whenever it went to home video, like, basically, I think it was Fox who owned the rights to the pilot, because they actually sold it as a movie over in Japan and stuff like that. It was huge in Japan, with the tacked-on ending, so, like, whenever you would go to buy Twin Peaks on VHS, you wouldn't get the pilot episode, and the second episode of the series doesn't recap or anything like that, and it's already right in the middle of the thing because an hour and a half already passed by. So, like, nobody really knew what was going on with that. You had to try to get a bootleg of the pilot or whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised how popular this was if there's so many goddamn barriers. You got the time slot that's constantly changing. You have no recaps. You miss an episode, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even look on the fucking... You have to look up TV Guide to see if you can see... If you can catch a rerun of the pilot.
Yeah. You have to go to try to get onto, like, the web.based forum board of, like, tpwikipedia.com to try to, like, figure out what the plot summary for the last episode was on your dial-up modem. And your mom keeps picking up the phone and you're trying to jerk off to, like, 2x4, like, porn.
Jerk it off to wooden porn?
No, well, it's literally just, it's 2 pixels by 4 pixels, and you can kind of see a nipple, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was hot. I liked it.
So tell me about the one-armed man.
With the one-armed man, I mean, he was really heavily implied in the first couple episodes to maybe be the killer. But he's... people think that, like... He used to be inhabited by Bob, and he was able to get rid of him by chopping off his arm. And then people think that the dwarf might actually be the guy's arm. I mean,
because he does refer to himself as, I am the arm.
Yep. And then he eventually kind of helps to find out, like, what Bob is exactly, kind of where he might be in the town. And they're able to get that it's Leland, because he kind of fucks up and goes on to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes to the meeting, and then the one-armed man reacts to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they trick him. They just get him into, like, a cell, and they push him.
Yep. They just shove him in there.
Oh, yeah. That's police work in, like, a small town. You just gotta push him.
I really liked was it Edward Horn? The rich businessman who owned the hotel?
Oh, Ben Horn.
I liked his character. Him and his brother were fun. I enjoyed them a lot. There's a lot of really fun... And maybe fun isn't the best word to describe all of them, but there's many strong characters in this series.
Oh, yeah. I love the Log Lady. She's, like, iconic in, like, popular media.
Yeah, because she's iconic for, like, weird, surreal stuff, because it's just a lady with a log who dispenses wisdom.
Yeah. She carries it around like it's a small child, because her husband died in a fire, so it could be her husband, too.
Yeah, I mean... It could be. Yeah. The log could be the husband.
Because Josie is a piece of wood now.
Yeah, she turned into a door handle.
Oh, yeah.
And that was never touched on again.
No. No, they just leave her there. She can just chill out in the door.
Yeah, I'm very glad that I got to watch this series now that it's completely done. I was able to watch season 1, followed by season 2, followed by the movie, followed by the deleted scenes of the movie that were released in, like, 2014.
Oh, yeah. No, those were a hidden treasure that, like, they finally found and released to people.
And then, now that as soon as we wrap up the episode here, probably within the next week, I'll start on season 3.
Yeah, we can do the return. I mean, I know almost nothing about the return. I've been bootlegging it, and sometimes I get spoiled by the thumbnails, because they're not just one thumbnail. It's like 12 different scenes all jammed into one thumbnail. And then also I gotta go through and make sure the audio's okay and the video's okay and it is the episode that is. So yeah.
But yeah,
like, I know some people who are coming back now.
Okay, yeah, because I'm looking forward to it, so...
Oh, yeah, but otherwise I know basically nothing about what's going to happen in Live Return. I just know a couple off-scenes.
Yeah, so if you have listened through to the end here, give Twin Peaks a watch. It's a very long series.
Yeah.
You don't want to take too long of a break between episodes.
No.
You can go 2 or 3 episodes and then just wait a few days, watch the other ones, and keep it kind of fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
I might want to have, like, a fucking notebook or the Wikipedia page open. Well, maybe not the Wikipedia,
because it's going to spoil a bunch of
stuff. Yeah. Yep. But it's a very fun show. It gives you a lot to chew on between episodes.
Yeah.
So, anything else that you want to talk about? Any other things that you want to clear up for anyone who may have questions in the audience that I can't think of right now about the series?
I was going to say, if you want to go to watch a series, make sure you don't watch the movie first, because it is a prequel, but it will absolutely spoil the entire series for you, and also you won't get most of it.
Yeah,
so
watching the movie, I'm like, if I didn't see what the fuck? Would,
oh yeah,
I don't know.
No.
What the fuck?
So yeah, they were fucked for the movie, because I mean the only people who were going to go watch that were diehard Twin Peaks fans, because everybody else was done with it. So yeah, it was gonna bomb.
Yeah. So
you watch the pilot. The alternate ending, if you want to watch it, it spoils stuff for a couple episodes in, and also it proves that somebody isn't the killer, who you think might be. But you watch all the way up until they reveal the killer, you watch one more episode, and you can keep watching if you want, but if the series starts to drag for you, you skip ahead until the last, 3 episodes. And then you get the entire Wyndham Earl subplot, and you know what he's doing.
Watch the second season up until you're like, alright, fuck this.
Yeah.
It until the killer's revealed. And then as much as you can stand, then jump to the last 3 episodes.
Yeah, no, because there is a very, very clear divide as soon as that happens. It just goes...
Yep. And then after that, watch the movie and then get ready for season 3 like us.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we'll go ahead and we'll end the episode. And looking forward, and we'll... Next episode after this one will probably be The Return.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, because The Return is going to take a long time to record. So, I mean, there might be something in between, but...
Yeah, there might be. We might do 1 or 2 episodes between, but, that'll do it. So...
I
hate you, Joe.
No, just make sure to check out the Benevolent Buckley Show.
Oh, that's right. This will probably come out after that's done airing, but
yes,
yeah, you can
it
check
should.
It out.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.